You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And continuing on this theme of infrastructure and climate change, I had a chat with Gary Taylor, CEO of the Environmental Defence Society, on the topic of managed retreat. Managed retreat, as Grant Robertson has put it, is a phrase that will come up quite a lot very soon as National and Labour work together on bipartisan legislation that will create the foundations of a multi-government strategy. I first asked him to explain what the term meant and how it could, I suppose, be an effective solution in building climate resilience.
Well, managed retreat is really the relocation of whole communities, I suppose, rather than just individual houses that might be, you know, on a slip-prone cliff or something. So it's basically saying that if we're going to have increased severe weather events, such as we saw with Gabrielle, and or increased storm surges and sea level rise, then we need to proactively plan for the relocation of those impacted communities.
In what situations might it be necessary to shift whole populations of people rather than just invest in existing infrastructure?
Yes, well, there's basically two ways to address it, isn't there? There's the sort of building seawalls and trying to control rivers through stop banks. That's one way of doing it, the engineered solution, if you like. The other is to say, well, that's only going to be a temporary solution anyway, and the big fix is to basically accept that nature has its intentions, if you like, and adapt where we live and work and play accordingly. So that means, you know, like in places that are regularly inundated, like coastal Dunedin, looking at relocating those dwellings, and also places like Westport, and now, of course, a whole bunch of communities that we haven't really got our heads around yet on the east coast of the North Island and in Northland.
So given that this is a policy that's still really being worked through, what are some of the big questions that you foresee coming up in this space? Do you think there will be a lot of debate around compensation, for example?
Yes, I think there will, and that's already started in a way. EDS has just produced its first working paper looking at the proposed Climate Adaptation Act, which is the third bill that's been promised in the resource management reforms. One of the key issues there is who pays, and you know, is it the impacted individual property owner? Is it insurance? Is it local government? Is it central government? Or is it some kind of hybrid of all of the above? And that's something that we really need to have a proper discussion about. And that was going to take place in the context of the evolution of this Climate Adaptation Act, but I think events have now overtaken us and we're going to have sort of emergency legislation that's going to create some kind of short-term cut-through, at least, to manage the impacts of Gabrielle.
So you've said that events have overtaken the processes that were underway. Do you think we're getting to this kind of solution a little bit too late, or is this something that we really only need to start looking at now because of the emergency?
Well, I've been an environmental advocate for many decades, and my take on it is that we're always too late when it comes to addressing environmental policy gaps or shortcomings, and this is no different. We've had a lot of emphasis, and quite rightly, on climate mitigation and the creation of, you know, systems and policies and the emissions trading scheme and so on to help address mitigation. But we have been, we are late to the party, as it were, when it comes to adaptation. And that is going to clearly be an important emphasis over the next few years as we try to rebuild. And I think just with respect to the rebuild, I think we need a changed mindset. We need to, instead of slogans like Build Back Better, which really does kind of look at it through an infrastructure lens, a built lens, we need to think about building back nature. And by that I mean we need to look at where we've degraded natural systems to the extent that they now render human occupation in certain parts of the country non-viable. And so that means looking in the upper catchments of hill country that produces the sediment that washes down and covers settlements. We need to look at restoring native forest in those settlements. And then on the flatland where it's not going to be viable for people to live as they have in the past, we need to think about re-establishing wetlands, which will slow down the velocity, will help of water, will help trap sediment, and will protect our marine and coastal resources better.
So does this mean moving people away as part of this adaptation approach on the floodplains of, you mentioned South Dunedin or South Auckland, and further into a more built-up centre city? Or does it mean, I guess, mitigating the growth of the cities in general and just trying to get fewer people in our urban areas to have that regeneration?
Well, I think the imperative is still, with 85% of our population living in urban areas, to make them more resilient, to have better stormwater infrastructure so that you can, have more intensive living in urban areas, which has all sorts of other environmental benefits, like, you know, with respect to emissions and the like. But I think our problem really is that cities haven't been immune from the ravages of climate change, but the real challenge that we've got is what do we do about rural communities that have been, impacted. I mean, to the extent that many people wouldn't want to go back there anyway. And so this goes back to the question we were talking about at the beginning about who pays and what's equitable. You know, where is the fairness in all of this? And I think one of the things that we should start or stop doing right away is consenting new development in flood-prone areas. And that means both on the, coastal areas that are subject to inundation and also along our rivers, which, arguably need more room to roam, as it were, as we get these big storm events becoming more frequent over time.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.